this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by. And then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning. When I die, hallelujah, by and by. Savior, praise Him for redeeming love.
I've a home,
beyond the shining river.
I've a mansion, I've a home,
a happy home beyond the shining river. I will dwell with Jesus there. I will dwell with Jesus there. I will dwell with Jesus there. When the Savior bids His children in, only those will go who are safe from sin. Nothing evil there in that land so fair, where the saints and saved abide. All around the throne we'll shout and sing, making melody and praises ring. Cares will pass away on that wondrous day, when the pearly gates swing wide.
When the pearly gates swing open wide,
and the Savior says to come inside. What a joyful sound, shouting all around, as the Christ is glorified.
Won't you come along and join the host?
Jesus gave His life to pay the cost. Here His banner bear, then His glory share, when the pearly gates swing wide.
sail across the mystic sea. Angels there will welcome you and me. We shall join the song of the ransomed throng on the shining glory side. All our troubles gone forevermore, safely anchored on fair heaven's shore. Happy we shall be, what a jubilee, when the pearly gates swing wide.
When the pearly gates swing open wide,
and the Savior says to come inside. What a joyful sound, shouting all around, as the Christ is glorified.
Won't you come along and join the host?
Jesus gave his life to pay the cost. Hear his banner bear, then his glory share, when the pearly gates swing wide. Soon we'll look upon the Savior's face. We will thank him for his saving grace. Prostrate we will fall, for he did it all. We will give our crowns to him. Then we'll sing and shout forevermore, thankful just to be on that fair shore. When we all get there, heaven we will share, when the pearly gates swing wide.
When the pearly gates swing open wide,
and the Savior says to come inside. What a joyful sound, shouting all around, as the Christ is glorified. Won't you come along and join the host? Jesus gave his life to pay the cost. Hear his banner bear, then his glory share, when the pearly gates swing wide.
Trials here are sometimes many, and oft times my feet grow weary, till it seems I almost stumble, then and fall. But the tender hand that leads me is the hand that keeps me steady, and by faith I know I'll make it after all. After all this life is over, and our burdens have been lifted, and we stand upon the mountain top so tall, looking over in that city that the Savior is preparing, gives me faith that I can make it after all.
By myself I cannot make it, but I know he's there to help me. He will hear my cry if only I will call. Just keep trusting and keep on believing are the words I hear him whisper. Just a few more days to labor after all. After all this life is over, and our burdens have been lifted, and we stand upon the mountain top so tall, looking over in that city that the Savior is preparing, gives me faith that I can make it after all. After all this life is over, and our burdens have been lifted, and we stand upon the mountain top so tall, looking over in that city that the Savior is preparing, gives me faith that I can make it after all. Gives me faith that I can make it after all.
after all.
All right, amen. Hope you're all doing well here today, and back with another broadcast, and just hope you had a good weekend serving the Lord, being faithful to God, living for God every day. I hope that's what you're doing. I pray that's what you've been doing anyway. I pray you've been serving the Lord and being faithful to God every day of your life and, you know, living for Him, because that's what God has called us all to do in this wicked world that we live in. And, you know, God's people need to be about their Father's business, and that's serving the Lord and being faithful to God in all that they do every day. Walking with the Lord in truth and in faithfulness, in righteousness, in true holiness, sanctification. And I hope that's what you're doing. God's people are more than just His people in name. They're His people in word and deed, and they ought to be that way every day. Don't ever kid yourself or fool yourself. You listen to that sermon that I preached yesterday to Rahab, the faith of Rahab, or Rahab's faith, and you know, ponder that and think about those things. Think on those things very, very, very intimately. You know, it's important for you to understand what God expects from you and that you would live it every day of your life. God wants you to live for Him every day. It's not enough. He saved you. He saved you to glorify, so you'd glorify God. That's why He saved you. He didn't save you so you could just have a free ticket to heaven and live like hell. He saved you to make you a new creature. He did make you a new creature if He saved you. Old things were passed away and all things become new. So it's high time God's people live for the Lord and stop making excuses. You've been making enough excuses. Quit making them and start living for the Lord. Start being faithful to God. And we thank the Lord. Oh, you watch, Carl says he watched Baptist History. Well, that's from a week ago. We haven't got the new one up yet. Let's see here what we got. You can't keep up with me, Carl. I'm too busy for you. That's what I'm saying. See here. Let's look at this. Too busy for Carl Winters. He can't even keep up with me anymore. I got so much stuff going on. You listen to Baptist History 101, Baptist Witness in the 4th Century. I got a bunch more to put on. I got yesterday's to put on. Got to put that one on. All that good stuff. Haven't done any truck talks. Maybe I'll do one tomorrow. I was busy today. Well, we'll get to some truck talks maybe tomorrow. Won't that be fun? All right, we'll see if we can get to that. Man, I got a really long Bible study for you here today. And I hope I get through it all. I know I will. I got plenty of time, but I need to get through this Bible study today. It's a good one here. And so want to help you today from the Bible. If you let me, take the scriptures and be a blessing to you and teach you some things. So we're going to work on that here today and see what God does with it. And hopefully we'll get some more people on here that'll hear this. You know, let me say hi to everybody first. My wife is first. You pray for her. She's getting closer. Supposed to be somewhere like 9 days or so. Somewhere like that. Anytime. So you pray for her. Andrea's on there. Pilgrim Lady on there. Carl Winters. Kate. Carrie. Joe McDonald. Mary. Brother Scott, Jacob, Terry, James Baines, my dad, John isn't a hippie, Maura Hoffman. Betty. Jesse Scruggs. C. K. Andrew Bicey. Brother Bicey's on here. The music today was found by Brother Bicey. I asked him to look some music up for me to add some, put a little variety. I'm going to have him be looking for a lot more. Brother Andrew, you've just been called to the ministry again to find me music and keep me, and like Timmy says, to keep me filled. I need me filled with music. So we'll have you looking around for music for me and keep us filled with a good variety of music. So we'll, and Zach Kittle, the man that's getting ready to get married. Zach Kittle. Zach, you got to keep praying for me, man. I'm working on getting there. Amen. I'm working on it, Brother Zach. You know how my ministry goes. You know how my ministry goes. That's how it works. All the way up to the wire, man. It's got to be that way. So it'll be God that gets me there. But we'll see what happens. I think the Lord will let it all work out. Amen. I'm excited. You pray for Brother Zach. He's getting close to getting married. Boy, oh boy, exciting times, man. I remember what that was like when I was getting ready to get married. Man, I was a nervous wreck, sort of. That's right, Brother Zach. If God wants me there, I'll be there. That's right. If he doesn't, I'll be home and I'll see you sometime soon. Yep. But I remember what it was like getting ready to get married, though. I remember that. I remember yelling at the Sprint lady and I had to go back and repent. If anybody ever had Sprint, you would understand why you would want to yell at Sprint. But it wasn't that poor lady's fault. So I had to go back there and I had to ask for forgiveness. That was like a week before I got married. But I remember that. I remember that nervousness and all that stuff. I know all that's like. Yep. Feeling like it was never going to come. Oh, yeah. Yeah. A lot of people thought the rapture was going to come before they get married. Man, I was pre-trib before I got married. Oh, that's funny. Anyway. Oh, amen. Anyway, so you pray for all this fun stuff going on. Lots of good things going on out there. Well, listen, I want to help some people here today. And I think that with the scriptures, we can do just that. You know, in my Bible study Sunday, in my devotion Sunday morning, the Lord just started giving me an outline, right? And you know, it's in this verse right here. You mean, Jessica, that means that we all got to suffer tribulation together? Oh, that's funny. Then you figured out your post-trib. through much tribulation to enter into the kingdom of heaven. His marriage. Oh, that's funny. That was a good one. All right. Let's look. Turn your Bibles now to Judges chapter 8. Judges chapter 8. And we'll go to verse number 4. And there was a phrase here in this verse that really stuck out to me. And it caused me to think about... It caused me to think about people going through, you know, God's people being faint sometimes. And God's people going through some things sometimes and being faint. To be faint and you know, weary in their mind. I wonder if I can get my hair to lay down here. I have hat hair. Oh, that looks fine. I don't know. I just don't want my hat on when I'm preaching like this. Anyway, okay, there we go. All right. There we go. Now I'm better. Oh, let me look in the camera. All right. Now here we go. Although I do like that hat, and if you're ever in Kansas City, you've got to go to Joe's Barbecue. If you don't, you stink. Anyway, all right. Here we go. There's a lot of people right now going through a lot of things. And God's people can get faint. I want to show you some of that. We're going to do a Bible study. Okay? And I want to show you some things about being faint, about being feeble, about being faint. And just try to give you some helps with that. There's going to be different times. I'll tell you what. Spurgeon used to talk about this. He talked about it in his minister's fainting fits. You know, the strong, you know, God's generals, God's men, they're not always strong. Sometimes they're weak. Sometimes they go through weak times. And, you know, sometimes God's people are going to go through weak times where they feel as if they're out of strength. And they're going to be feeble. And I think these times, you know, when they see, like, when people have had their eyes so much on the political scene and everything, like, I got people calling me and talking to me and saying, you know, talking about, you know, a revolution and talking about, you know, all these other things. And man, Biden's going to be so bad and this and that and all these other things. And they're so taken and shaken by it. And I'm not, I'll be honest with you. And it's not because I think I'm strong or anything else. I know how weak I am. I'm not really bothered too much by it. Number one, because I believe they're all on the same team. And it doesn't matter who gets in office there, they do what they want. They don't do what we want. They already have an agenda. They're led by the spirit of Antichrist, and they do what they want. So I don't see one person any different than the other. I see them all working the same Antichrist plan. I just do. So they all play charades and they all act like they're different, but they're really not. But anyway. So, but I know some people that, and I know, you know, regardless of whether it's political or whatever it is, there's such unrest right now. And I know how that can, what that can do to people. And I know how that can make us weak and tired and wore out and faint and feeble. And this verse right here, Gideon, a mighty warrior, right? And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint, yet pursuing them. And it really caused me to think about that phrase, faint yet pursuing. And that's really what God wants us to be, in that sense, is continuing to pursue. Now, God doesn't want us faint. Sometimes he allows us to get that way, and our own sin or our own situation allows us to become. But some people are more feeble-minded than others. Some people of a constitution are more naturally feeble than others. Sometimes God supernaturally touches men and makes them feeble to teach them compassion. So I want to go through the scriptures with you and talk to you a little bit about this. And we'll go through a bunch of them here. We're going to be all over the Bible. Hope you're ready. Because God wants us, even if we're faint, to still be pursuing. You know, there are times that Christian warriors become faint. Look at Jeremiah chapter 8. Let's go there. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse number 18. Jeremiah said, a mighty prophet of the Lord, he was called the weeping prophet. When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. So his heart, Jeremiah looked at the city and looked at the suffering, and he tried to comfort his heart to be strong. To comfort his heart against sorrow, and he couldn't. He said his heart became very faint. He became very weak. What does that word faint mean? It means weak. It means feeble. Exhausted. It means fatigued. Turn to 2 Samuel. Second Samuel 21:15. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel, and David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. David became faint. Okay? He became weak. He waxed faint. Even strong warriors like David. You see, the strongest warriors sometimes they get faint. I can tell you that I fought a lot of spiritual battles for year after year after year after year. And then it was just the right one. And I waxed faint. I got weak. I got faint. And the Lord allowed it to happen for a reason, to teach me humility. That word faint, it means imperfect or weak. And the Christian warrior may find himself at sometimes very feeble. But you know something? The Bible says even the feeble in the church are necessary. Turn to 1 Corinthians. 12:22. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God had tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. So God says that the ones that are feeble, the ones that seem to be feeble, the ones that seem to be feeble are more necessary. That the feeble members of the body are important. So God doesn't despise the feeble. And we'll get to that in a little while. You know, feeble soldiers are to be comforted. There's some instructions that are given. And we'll talk about that at the end more. I'll kind of explain that a little better. But he tells the pastor, he's telling the churches, he's telling the preacher of that church, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. So that the whole body itself, or the church, the people that are in the body at that meeting place or wherever they are, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. So there's one group that you have to warn. It's the unruly. They're not walking orderly. They're walking disorderly. He says to warn the unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. So you're to comfort them. Comfort them. Support the weak. Support those that are weak. Sometimes it's hard to identify those feeble-minded and weak. You know something? For a long time, I didn't have a lot of that feeble-mindedness and weakness in the way that I was. I was like a soldier that just kept marching forward, which I needed to be. However, until the Lord touched me with that feebleness, until he touched me with that weakness, I wasn't able to understand it as much. So then God touched me with that, and then I was able to understand it better, identify with it better, be more compassionate with it. And I thank God for it. I'll tell you that. It's very hard to thank God for that sometimes in your mind and your heart. In that sense, it took a while for me to come to that place to understand that in order to be the bishop or the pastor that God wanted me to be, I had to be afflicted. Because if I was afflicted, then I would be able to help others. If I was touched with the feeling of their infirmities, then I'd be sensitive to them. I would be able to help them better. So God allowed that to come upon me. He allowed those fainting fits to come upon me. He allowed that depression and anxiety and those other things to come upon me, to touch me. Like he touched the hollow of his thigh, of Jacob's thigh, and he walked with a limp. See, that was necessary. That was necessary. It was very necessary. Right? And I will probably put this under the depression series just because I think it can help people that deal with that too. So I'll put that under that series because I know it can help them with that. Okay? Especially God's people. You know, the feeble-minded are not to be taken advantage of. They're to be helped. They're to be comforted. They're to be helped. Genesis chapter 25, verse number 30. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same pot, red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. Now Jacob, being a supplanter, what did he do? He took advantage of his brother who was faint, which was wrong. That was sinful. He never should have done that. That was very sinful for him to do that. Very sinful. But Jacob learned because Laban took advantage of Jacob. He got his comeuppance. Feeble Christians are easy targets for the enemy. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy. Those saints that are full of doubts and fears and feeble and weak, they're targets for Satan. They're targets for the enemies. They're targets. Listen, hey, I want to help you with something. I want you to listen to me very closely. And I mean everybody, you listen closely. When you see somebody different, you know, they got autism or Asperger's, or they're on the autism spectrum, or they have mental health issues or anything like that. Don't you single them out and pick on them because they're weaker and they're easier to pick on. Don't you do that. There's a lot of Christians that see people like that and they want to, I don't mean just friendly bantering or teasing or something like that, as long as they're laughing with you and they're, you know, they know that you're just playing with them and, you know, they're part of it. They get it. I'm talking about being mean to them, singling them out, jumping down their throat, or just maximizing or capitalizing on it, their mistakes or whatever. That's wicked. God hates that. And you better teach your children not to do that too. I'll tell you what I've seen. I've seen a lot of kids grow up in Christian schools and kids picked on them because they were different or there was something wrong with them. And we've all probably done some of that in the past. I'm sure we have. But I'm telling you, so I've watched it. People that are that will pick on kids that are a little different than them, or teaching those children. Listen, Cindy made this comment. How can they do that? And even be a Christian? And Carl says that. Well, let me tell you something. Don't be shocked at what Christians can do. I'll put it that way. We're capable of doing a lot of bad things. You better believe we are. There's some sins that you're sensitive to and I'm sensitive to that other people aren't. And there's some sins that they're sensitive to that they wouldn't do that you would do. And I'm not being mean or singling you two out. I'm just using it as an example. The longer you're saved, the more you'll realize what this stinking old rotten, wicked, disgusting flesh can do. Man, can it do a lot. So we all have to take heed lest we fall, because I'm going to tell you what, it's easy. It's easy. When we look at what somebody else does and be like, man, how could they do that? And they look at us and say, man, how can you do that? And I look at all of us and say, how in the world can we do that? Amen. I'm saying it because I love you. I'm not mad at you. I'm not picking on you. You know me. You two know me well enough to know I wouldn't do that. If I wanted to pick on you, I'd do it in private, not in front of anybody. But anyway, I'm just saying. So let's, but I want that to, you let your kids hear this. Let your children hear this. Don't you pick on children that are different than you. They may have a learning disability and they may be different. Don't you pick on them. Now, right now, I have to refrain myself because I really want to talk about Carl, but I'm not going. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to refrain my jokes, Carl. I'll save them for private. Oh, hey, I did too, man. I grew up with two mentally handicapped stepsisters. Now, most of it was fun, and they had fun. They love me. My mentally handicapped sisters, they absolutely love me. I mean, I think I'm their favorite because I played with them, but I never insulted them really or made them feel bad. I just played with them, and you know, they were older than me, and they didn't get mad at me. They never got mad at me. I don't think any of them, I don't think they've ever been mad at me. Come to think about it, I have to ask my mom about that. But I really don't think my two, I don't think they've ever been mad at me before. Maybe ask Hannah, too. She's been around for 18, 19 years, but I don't think they've ever been mad at me, you know? They've always gotten along really well with me because I don't think they ever did. They always loved me. My brother, he got a shoe thrown in the back of his head, not me. They liked me. Anyway, so I was the favorite. What happened now? Now I'm nobody's favorite. Well, maybe my wife's. And I think my daughters are fond of me. And my mom. Anyway. All right, here we go. Let's keep going. Enough about me giving you a hard time. But be careful about that, okay? Let's teach our children to be very careful, okay, about that. I mean that because I've seen some people be really mean. Don't you do that when you see somebody different. You know, be kind to them. Look at this. I want to show you something about the feeble. Deuteronomy 25. Don't you act like Amalek. Deuteronomy 25, 17, 18, and how many ever verses we want to read here. Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way, when you were come forth out of Egypt, how he met thee by the way, and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. See, Amalek didn't fear God. He just went after the weakest ones and picked on them. Picked on them because they were different, singled them out. You know what you're supposed to do to those weak and feeble ones? You're supposed to strengthen them. You teach your children, if you had a family member that had autism or you have, you know what your job is to do? You protect them, you strengthen them, and you encourage them. You don't exploit their weaknesses, but you strengthen them. That's our duty before God. You know, I preached a message a long time ago about feeble saints. Christianity is not the survival of the fittest. Amen. All right, but look at that. That's so we don't want to act like them, do we? How about 2 Chronicles? Let's go there. Man, I'm having fun. Are you having fun? I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying a Bible study, not dealing with all this common the current events that's going on, but just a good old-fashioned Bible study, just like the other day. I like this, man. Let's see here. You know, it's amazing to me, 150 people will be on, 120 people will be on here if I'm talking about something like that, but something that they could really use that'll help them. They don't listen to it. Of course, YouTube buries so much stuff. You never know. 2 Chronicles 28, verse number 15. And the men, which were expressed by name, rose up and took captives and with the spoil clothed all that were naked among them and arrayed them and shod them and gave them to eat and to drink and anointed them and carried all the feeble of them upon asses and brought them to Jericho, the city of the palm trees, to their brethren. Then they returned to Samaria. So they took care of them. By the way, let me say this. I'm very grateful. I want to say something to you all out there. I'm very grateful for you being here, but I'm for your prayers, and I'm also very grateful for you giving to the ministry. I really do appreciate that. I thank God for that. Your giving to the ministry keeps me doing this more. I can study more. I can do more. I can produce more online, which is right now is a lot of evangelism and a lot of different things. So, you know. So, I mean, I'm very grateful for that. And I just wanted to remind you that. I just wanted to praise the Lord for that. That I'm grateful for whatever people give and try to be a blessing to our ministry. I'm grateful for that. I really am. Okay. Let's see. Yep, clothing care for them. So we're to clothing care those feeble-minded, those that are feeble. And that means spiritually too, right? Encouragement. And we'll get to that. We'll talk about that. But the weaker ones. Turn to Psalm 38. I want to show you some things about feebleness there. Because David writes about this. You know, David had sinned against God. David, he sinned against the Lord, a grievous sin. And David was dealing with that. And it's hard. When God's people sin against him, it's very difficult to move forward. One of the hardest things for Christians to do is, if they have grievously sinned against God, is to move forward. If they have a history of failure, or they've succumbed to sin, if they've given into that, moving forward. Now, I think part of that is admitting that you're feeble. You're not as strong as you think you are. And then you've failed God. You've been living backslidden. You've not been living right. You've not been faithful to the Lord. And then getting back up again and being like, moving forward. You're very weak. You're faint. You're feeble. Well, the Bible has the answer. The Bible has the answer. David goes on in this psalm, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. This is a man that is going through depression, by the way. Now, his is brought on by sin. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head, as a heavy burden they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. Now, let me stop here and say this, that I believe David, I think David had a venereal disease here. That's what I think this is. I think David caught a venereal disease from Bathsheba, and I think he had it for the rest of his life. I think that's the loathsome disease, that, and there's no soundness in his flesh. But look what he said. I am feeble and sore broken. David is feeble, and he's broken, right? He's sinned against the Lord, and he's broken. So there may be a time in your Christian life where you've had a history of failure. And you know something? We are supposed to try to help those feeble ones that repent of their sins. They get right, and they get back up on the horse again, and they ride again. You know what a lot of people don't realize either about David? That a great portion of the scriptures was written by a depressed man. David battled depression. So I saw a post the other day of some preachers and some guys that were like, how could any Christian say that they're depressed? I know what it's like to act like that. Right? I know what it's like to act like that. And having been through some things, and God brought me through depression and everything, that I understand that. You know, I preached against depression before, and but to take it to that level, you know what's funny? I preached on depression once before I ever had it. After that, I've preached probably 30 sermons on it and teachings on it. But most of the Bible was written by a man that's been depressed. A man that battled depression, that fought it in and out. Okay? Anyway, but David said, I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my flesh. He's roared inside. Lord, all my desires before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. David was getting right with God, right? David got his heart right with God. But you know what? David's faintness was due to his sin. He had sinned and he became very spiritually weak. He was brought down very low by his sin. And he was broken. Because David was a saved man and God didn't let him get away with it. So sin can do that. You know, there's a good warning, I think, also in Job. Turn over to Job chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, "If we essay to commune with thee, wilt thou be grieved? But who can withhold himself from speaking? Behold, thou hast instructed many, and thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Thy words have upholden him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. But now it has come upon thee, and thou faintest. It toucheth thee, and thou art troubled. Is not this thy fear, thy confidence, thy hope, and thy uprightness of thy ways?" So, Job had strengthened many people through their hard times, the feeble and weak saints. He had strengthened the feeble and weak saints. But then Job became feeble and weak. And any one of us that have strengthened others can come to the same place. Any one of us that have been strong can be brought down to become weak. Any one of us. We're not immune to it. In fact, we're more prone to it than we are immune to it. Okay? So remember that. You know, God chastens his own children with the rod of correction sometimes. Afflictions can come, and they weaken us and make us feeble-minded sometimes. Just the right mixture of afflictions can come upon you and make you very weak. There were many trials that I had over and over and over again for years, fighting and fighting spiritually and warring and soldiering ahead. But it was just the right mixture that it took to weaken me. The right afflictions. Just the right number of betrayals, the right people to betray, the right things to bring me down, for my mind to break. Right? It's important to understand that God is able to make the strong feeble if he chooses to. Turn to Isaiah chapter 16. Verse number 14. But now the Lord has spoken, saying, within 3 years, as the years of a hireling, and the glory of Moab shall be contemned with all that great multitude, and the remnant shall be very small and feeble. God's able to make those that are big very small and feeble. Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 7. Verse number 17. Look at this. All hands shall be feeble, and all knees shall be weak as water. You know, God's able to make the strongest people. God's able to make you stand. He's able to make the weakest ones stand. And he's also able to make the strongest ones weak as water. No strength left in. no strength to be left in them, but become weak as water. God's able to do that. There's some people that you see that God's able to make those people that think they're very strong become very weak. Lamentations. Chapter 1, verse number 13. You know, Jeremiah here is weeping. Look at 12. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. From above hath he sent fire into my bones, and it prevaileth against them. He hath spread a net for my feet. He hath turned me back. He hath made me desolate and faint all the day. Jeremiah is weeping over the city. You know, he's weeping over what happened, and he's completely distraught. He's got no strength in him. I've been there. I've been there. I know what that's like. I know what that's like to be brought down where there's nothing but sorrow in your heart. That you have no reason to hope in yourself, that is. You have no reason to hope in the future. You have no reason to even think about the future because everything is so absolutely dismal that you can only see the now and you can't see anything into the future. Everything is darkness. Everything is like you're walking in complete dark in the valley of the shadow of death. And all that's there is the satyrs and the snakes. All that's there are the devils. All that's there are the spooks and the ghouls. All that's there are the giants of despair. You're locked down in a dungeon and you can't get out. You become very feeble, very weak, very faint. Like Paul said, you despair of even life. I've been there. I know what that's like. It's very difficult. You know, the feeble-minded, they become full of anguish. That anguish is extreme pain of the mind, distress or grief. Many feeble people are plagued with the anguish of mind. The distress that is, many can be full of depression as a result of grief and grieving. They're full of anguish. That's a deep pain of the mind. Oh my. You would almost rather be shot. Almost rather be cut. Almost rather go through those things than to have the deep pain of the mind. Because it's horrible. That extreme grief, extreme distress. The feeble Christian, when he gets in that place, he's apt to run. He's apt to want to run. Turn to Jeremiah 49. Sometimes you get so grievous, you get so grieved, and you have so much anguish of mind and heart that life would be easier, you feel like, if you just ran. Jeremiah 49:24, Damascus is waxed feeble and turneth herself to flee, and fear hath seized on her. Anguish and sorrows have taken her as a woman in travail. anguish and sorrow fills the heart. Sometimes it feels like it's easier to run and harder to fight through than to wrestle and win the day and to fight on because of deep anguish of heart and mind. Pain. Pain. Like I said, the feeble knees become weak as water. Become very weak. Very tried. That's the condition of the weak and the faint saint. It could be due to sin. Now, we're going to take a break here for a second. I'm going to play some hymns for you. And then we're going to have the second half of this study, which is going to deal with how to strengthen the faint saint. How to encourage the faint saint. What to do when we're faint.
Once I was lost in sin, I had no peace within. To save my weary soul, I knew not how. But Jesus came to me, and by His grace I'm free. Now it's different, yes, it's oh, so different now.
It's different now,
yes, it's different
since
now.
Jesus saved my soul.
Since He saved my soul.
It's different now,
yes, it's different
since
now.
By His blood I'm whole.
By His blood I'm whole.
Oh, Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me.
Now it's different, yes, it's oh, so different now.
So different now.
I went to church one day to hear them sing and pray. The preacher firmly plowed the gospel plow. He said, you must repent. So down the aisle I went. Now it's different. So different now.
It's different now.
Yes, it's different
since
now.
Jesus saved my soul.
Since He saved my soul.
It's different now.
Yes, it's different
since
now.
By His blood I'm whole.
By His blood I'm whole.
Oh, Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me.
Now it's different.
Yes, it's oh,
so different now.
So different now.
And now my hopes are bright. I praise Him day and night. How He could change me so I know not how. But praise the Lord, it's done. The victory now is won. Now it's different. Oh, so different now.
It's different now.
Yes, it's different
since
now.
Jesus saved my soul.
Since He saved my soul.
It's different now.
Yes, it's different
since
now.
By His blood I'm
by
whole.
His blood I'm whole.
Oh, Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me.
It's different, oh, so different now.
Oh, Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me.
Now it's different,
now it's different,
now it's different, oh, so different now.
Of gold, where there never comes a night. The walls made of jasper, the gates made of pearl,
and the Son of God is the light. I'm looking for the day when God will say, let the trumpet sound the fanfare. The dead in Christ will burst the ground, and we alive can be found, singing to meet our Savior in the air.
There's a river that flows and the tree of life grows, 12 manner of fruit it doth bear. There will be no more fears and God's trying all the tears,
and I am a joined heir. One day the trumpet will sound, all the saints will leave the ground to meet our Lord and Savior in the air. His blood that washes white as snow is the only way to go. Are you washed? Will you meet him there? I'm looking for the day when God will say, let the trumpet sound the fanfare. The dead in Christ will burst the ground, and we alive can be found, sailing to meet our Savior in the air. I'm looking for the day when God will say, let the trumpet sound the fanfare, the fanfare. The dead in Christ will burst the ground, and we alive can be found, sailing to meet our Savior in the air, sailing to meet our Savior in the air, sailing to meet our Savior.
Let's get back to it. What a good song. Ed Russ Quartet. That's who this is. These songs are by Brother Bicey found them. So we thank the Lord for those. All right. Now, so let's get back into our study here as we look at what we should do now. How do we comfort the feeble-minded as we're commanded to? What do we do with the feeble-minded? And, you know, how do we go about that? That's the important thing to understand, okay? Is like, so I find myself in this place. What do I do? What will God do? And what should others do for me? I think we can safely answer a lot of those with the Word of God here today. Well, let me start out first by saying, number one, that God is able to strengthen the feeble. Zechariah, turn to Zechariah chapter 12. Okay, in verse number 8. The Bible says, in that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. So I want you to look at this promise of God towards his children. Let me say that if you've been saved by the grace of God, if you've come to Christ and you've repented and you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus alone, knowing that you were a lost sinner, you deserve to go to hell, you saw your lost condition before God, you cried out to Jesus to save your soul, if you did that, then you're a child of God. That's what the Bible says, according to the Word of God. For him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out, he said. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of the land. So here's a principle that God will defend his people, and the feeble among them at that day shall be like David. God gives strength to the feeble. So first he says those that are feeble, God strengthens. Well, how does he do that? Ephesians chapter 6. We see there's some armor here, right? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. See, that's the key. You can't even pick the armor up without the power of God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So we need God's might for the fight. We are very weak. And when we come to that place that we're very weak and feeble, we need God's might. We need God's strength. Amen? So, we come and we get some strength from the Lord. Because God gives might for the fight. So where do I get my strength from? I have to get it from God. And the weaker I am, and the more rejected I feel, and the more doubtful I feel, the more full of fear I am, the more I must go to God for strength. Right? The more I must go to God for strength. So we see this armor here, but we also see that we need the power of God to lift it up. You know, David couldn't pick up Saul's armor. So what did he have? He had his sling and a pocket full of rocks, right? And he knew how to trust and pray. So he had all prayer. He had his sling. But he had the Spirit of the Lord that clothed him. He had armor on already. David had that spiritual armor on. Because what's the Bible say about David? That the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that time forward. So David had the power of the Lord. He was clothed in that armor. Now, leadership has to be careful that we don't weaken the feeble. Turn to 1 Samuel 14. Got to be careful. You that are around the feeble-minded, those that are weaker, you can see them. They're weaker. They're full of doubts. Maybe they doubt their salvation all the time, even after they show good reason to believe that they're saved. But they have a lot of doubts and fears. They have a doubtful mind. They have a mind that is full of that, right? When we have people like that, we have to comfort the feeble-minded. We have to be careful about not discouraging them. Look at this. 1 Samuel 14, 28. Then answered the people and said, "Thy father straitly charged the people with an oath, saying, Cursed be the man that eateth any food this day. And the people were faint. Then said Jonathan, My father hath troubled the land. See, I pray you how mine eyes have been enlightened because I tasted a little of this honey. How much more if happily the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies which they found. For had there not been now a much great slaughter among the Philistines. And they smote the Philistines that day from Michmash to Aileon, and the people were very faint." So the people were very faint. You know, that leadership made them faint like that. So we have to be careful to strengthen them, not hurt them. But God wants to strengthen his people. It says we're to comfort the feeble-minded and support the weak. So how do I do that? I encourage them. I review the promises of God with them. I encourage them to go to the scriptures and review the promises of God. You know, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30, because a wise leader will see the weak and the feeble and try to encourage them like David did. But David pursued, he and 400 men. For 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook, Bezor. Now scroll down to verse number 21. And David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Bezor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near the people, he saluted them. But all the wicked men of Belial was like, they're not getting anything. Give them their wives and get them down the road. David said, oh no, David saluted those weak men and he said, hey, thanks for sticking by the stuff here. We know you were weak. Here's a portion of the spoils. Why did he do that? Because he was trying to encourage the weak. He was trying to encourage the weak that they were going to make it to the promised land. They were going to make it over. They were going to get victorious. They were going to be victorious. And a wise leader will point them to God's promises. Jesus was very careful with the weak. Matthew 15:32. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting lest they faint in the way. So Jesus was concerned for them that they would not faint in the way. He was concerned for the feeble, for the weak. He didn't say, well, I'm strong and they're not, so I'm going to kind of lord over them. No, he was concerned for the weak. He cared about them. You know, you and I, whether it's in a local New Testament church, which is important to be in, by the way, but even I'll speak to the people of this, of our church, as they listen. There's many of them that are listening. When we see weaker ones, we're to support them. We're to help them. We're to encourage them. We're to strengthen them. We're not to lord over them because we're stronger than them or we perceive ourselves to be stronger than them, but we're to be kind-hearted to them. Or to encourage them. Amen? Because they're needful. The Bible says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. So we're to lift them up. No, that's not me. Somebody outside is. I'm surprised you can hear that. Wow, this must have a good microphone. Yeah, somebody outside's playing something. You hear what I play. I play it right online. Our text shows us the proper way to encourage them. We do it by speaking. I think it's 40. Let me see. Wrong verse. Here it is. Isaiah 40, verse number 1. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Listen, I periodically will have people write to me. I periodically will have people send me messages, or even I'll counsel people that go back into their past and dig into their sins or bring to remembrance their sins. Well, the Bible says, comfort ye, my people, saith your God, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. Once you've been saved by the grace of God, and once you've come to the Lord and repented of your sins, there's no need to revisit those sins. That's not God telling you to go back and keep revisiting those. God's punishing me for what I did 20 years ago, or God wants me to remember what I did 20 years ago or wants me to focus on what I did. No, I don't believe so. I believe you and I are to comfort those people and show them the forgiveness that's in Christ. We're to show them that forgiveness and that comfort of the Lord. Right? Galatians chapter 6. You know, a lot of things can be cleared up by good doctrine. If you understand good doctrine and you practically apply that, some of the things that you fear in your mind, they're not good doctrine. For instance, well, you committed a sin, a very grievous one years ago. You know, or since you've been saved, you made some mistakes, or you sinned. Sinned. I don't want light. I'm not trying to make sin light, okay? So, you've committed some sins. And you repented of those sins. But you start bringing them back up again. Right? God doesn't want you to do that. God doesn't want you to live your life dealing with every sin you ever committed and bringing it up. Because that's what a diseased mind does. That's what depression does. That's what anxiety does to a saved person. All those things, that they'll continue to relive all anything they ever did wrong. And they become consumed with it. Now use those things to be careful about the future and stay far away from an evil matter. Far away from it. But don't harp on it. Don't own guilt for it. All that guilt was paid for by Christ on Calvary. Move on. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We're supposed to not be weary in well-doing. Ephesians 3, verse 13. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. You know, don't faint when you see other Christians go through things and you think in your mind, man, I don't think I could ever do that. Well, God never called you to do that. Well, maybe I'm not as much of a Christian as them. And then you start going through all the, I don't know if I could do that. Well, that's not what God's called you to do. So don't worry about it. Right? Don't be weary in well-doing. Do what God's called you to do. Do what he's called you to do. What God has called you to do, even though you're faint, is to keep pursuing. My advice to you today, according to the scriptures, is to continue to pursue Christ when you feel weak, when you are faint. And we're going to get to those verses, Luke chapter 18. So how do I do that? Number one, I pray. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. If you and I don't pray, we will faint. Some of you, all of us at times, do not pray like we should, are not faithful in prayer like we should. And the only way that weak saints become stronger is through prayer. That men ought always to pray and not to faint. Gotta pray. Gotta pray. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look what Paul said. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. That's what we need to do. Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now, verse number 16. Actually, we'll just read it all. Commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You've got to look unto Jesus. If you're ever going to have victory, you got to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, which we're going to get to, by the way. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So the excellency of the power is the image of God, which he shined in your heart when he saved your soul and he put his spirit inside of you, conforming you to the image of Christ. Now look to him for strength, not in yourselves, but in the word of God. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I have believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet inward man is renewed day by day. How? Through the word of God. Through prayer, through the word of God. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We look to the word of God. That's how you see Jesus. Not in your mind imagining Jesus, but in the Bible. Amen. You got to move forward, friend. Forward. When you're faint, yet pursuing. You got to be pursuing. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. So how do we do that? How do we not be weary and faint in our minds? Consider him. You consider Christ. Go back and listen to the sermon I preached on that. Consider Christ. Then I preached about 4 or 5 messages on Hebrews chapter 12, probably almost through the whole chapter, really. Go back and listen to those. Consider Christ. Anytime your mind becomes weak and faint, consider and focus on Jesus. You need spiritual strength. You focus on Christ. Amen. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Paul was one that had great anguish of mind. Paul was one that got weak, I believe, after the messenger of Satan came to buffet him. I believe that's when Paul got weak. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. So Paul's saying, I haven't reached a perfection of maturity yet already. But look what he says here. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Faint, yet pursuing. Being weak and faint and feeble as a saint is no excuse to give up. You have no right to give up and stop fighting and stop pursuing. Paul said, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am, which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. I preached that sermon a long time ago. This one thing I do. It's called pressing toward the mark. I've preached it over the years three times probably. This one thing I do. What's the one thing that Paul said? This one thing I do. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. I like the deaf sign for forgetting. I think it's this one. Forgetting. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting those things which are behind. Right? And reaching forth unto those things which are before. You can't reach like this. Sorry. Like this. No, you got to reach forth. Reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press. A full court press. I press toward the mark, Christ, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. What is that perfect he's talking about? Complete, mature, whole. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. You got to press on. You got to move forward. Faint, yet pursuing. You know, the one thing that God drilled into my heart two things I guess I could say. During the deepest, darkest depression of my life that lasted probably 3 years, God, I used to ask God, Lord, I don't know what you want from me. I just want you to trust me. I want you to trust me. And the other thing, keep serving me. I want you to press on, Pilgrim. Press on. I want you to continue on. I don't want you to give up. I don't want you to turn back. I don't want you to turn to the right hand or to the left, but I want you to press on. I want you to keep going. I want you to trust me, though you can't feel me, though you can't see me, though you can feel nothing sometimes, though darkness is all around you, though you are immersed in the most blackest, darkest darkness that can be felt. I want you to trust me, and I want you to continue on in the faith, and I want you to preach, and I want you to teach, and I want you to pray, and I want you to seek my face, and I don't want you to turn back. I want you to keep pressing on, keep walking through the valley, keep going through the dark. I want you to press on. I don't want you to give up. I don't want you to turn back. I don't want you to fall out along the way, but I want you to keep moving. And I want your only desire to be to please me. And never mind all these other people. Never mind all the things that happened to you. And never mind those things. Pay them no mind. Press on. That's what he said to me through the scriptures, through reading and through studying and through praying. That's what I want. But Lord, I don't see how any of this is good for me. I'm a mess. I'm a wreck. Press on. Trust me. Trust me in the dark. I want you to trust me. No matter how dark it is, I want you to trust me. No matter what you feel, no matter what you see before your eyes, no matter what you fear, I want you to trust me. First Corinthians 15:58. Actually, 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, fast, fixed, firm, established. Be ye steadfast, unmovable. Paul said, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear. Be ye steadfast, faint, yet pursuing Christ, pursuing his word, pursuing his people, pursuing faith, pursuing the end prize. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always increasing. You know something that's funny about all that? Before, a long time ago, I did different broadcasts and I'd do like one or two a week or one a week. Something like that. Now I'm doing 3 a week, 2 hours long. twice on Sundays, preaching 2 to 3 times on Sunday. My first sermon's usually an hour and a half, so it's like 2 sermons. I know, just the way it is. Anyway, I do more now than I did before. My mind was broken. Right? And I want to do more. I want more. I want to do more. Always abounding. Always increasing. In the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Got to keep moving. Got to keep pressing forward. Got to keep trusting the Lord. Though you're faint, though you're feeble, though you're weak. God wants you to press on. Moving forward. Right? Never turning back, right? But always pressing toward the mark. Always continuing on. Right? That's what God wants us to do. Amen? When we're feeble, when we're weak, it's not an excuse not to continue on. It's not. It's a reason. It's not an excuse to give up, I mean. It's a reason to continue on. It's a reason to continue to fight on. Amen? That's the way God intended it to be. That's the way God wanted us to be. I wish I could find that. There's one song I was looking for. I don't see it on here. I wish I knew where it was, but I can't find it, I don't think. But this one's a good one, too.
Light in the darkness, say, Lord, day is at hand. See o'er the foaming billows, fair haven's land. Here was the voyage, sailor, now almost o'er. Safe within the lifeboat, sailor, pull for the shore.
Pull for the shore, sailor, pull for the shore. Heed not the rolling waves, but bend to the oar. Safe in the lifeboat, sailor, cling to self no more. Leave the poor old stranded wreck and pull for the shore.
In the lifeboat, sailor, all else will fail. Stronger the surges dash and fiercer the gale. Heed not the stormy winds, though loudly they roar. Watch the bright and morning star and pull for the shore.
Pull for the shore, sailor, pull for the shore. Heed not the rolling waves, but bend to the oar. Safe in the lifeboat, sailor, cling to self no more. Leave the poor old stranded wreck and pull for the shore.
Bright gleams the morning, sailor, uplift the eye. Clouds and darkness disappearing, glory is nigh. Sing in the lifeboat, sailor, sing evermore. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Pull for the shore. But bend to the oar. Safe in the lifeboat, sailor, cling to self no more. Leave the poor old stranded wreck and pull for the shore. Leave the poor old stranded wreck and pull for the shore.
All right, let's see. me see. Let's see. We'll get another one on here. How's everybody doing out there? Anybody got any, maybe you have something you'd like to say? Let's hear it. Maybe you want to say hi. Maybe this is the first time you listened. Maybe it was... Let's see here. Who we got here? Let's see. Oh, that's good. Maxine Vachon says, "Hi, Pastor. Began listening to you without a local church, now part of a church. Thanks for your support, up to date and continuing." Well, amen. Glad to hear that. Glad to hear you're in a good church. Wonderful. Amen, Alex. Good to have you right in there. Kate, good to see you on here as well. Let's see. Deborah. Well, Deborah, I'm glad. Praise the Lord. I'm glad that encouraged you. Okay, John, try to remember you in prayer as well. That's rough, Cindy. That's rough. Midwest BJHS, Pastor Curley, when did you decide to stand up instead of sit down in your broadcast? When I got the stand-up desk over there... And so I could work all day because it's hard on my back. And then when I got it over there, funny story, they sent us a desk. It had a messed up top. We offered to, emailed them. They sent us back. They sent out a desk and said that they would take this one back. And then we wrote them and they said, "You just keep it." So they gave us two desks. So we actually ended up getting two desks for the price of one, and I wanted to move to standing up for 2 hours, and the broadcasts are better with me standing up anyway. And so it was about a month or two ago or so. So that's why. So that's where it comes from. All right. So that's why. And it's way easier on my back to not sit down all day. You know, or not sit down for a couple hours. So about basically the only time I sit down is at night when I go home. That's about the only time I sit down. Most of the day I'm standing all the time, standing, studying, standing, doing everything and all that. And it just helps a lot better. So anyway, that's why. Anybody else have any other questions? Oh, we'll play another song here for you before I get out of here. Let's see.
For the church triumphant is alive and let the church be the church. Let the people rejoice. For we've settled the question and we've made our choice. Let the anthem ring out. Songs of victory swell. For the church triumphant is alive and well. This old ship's been through some battles before, storms and tempests and rocks on the shore. Though the hull may be battered, inside it's safe and dry. It will carry its cargo to the port in the sky. Let the church be the church. Let the people rejoice. For we've settled the question and we've made our choice. Let the anthem ring out. Songs of victory swell, for the church triumphant is alive and well. Let the church be the church, let the people rejoice, for we've settled the question and we've made our choice. Let the anthem ring out, songs of victory swell, for the church triumphant is alive and well. For the church triumphant, the church triumphant is alive and well.
Amen. Somebody asked, do authorities harass you when you assemble down where you are? No, they have harassed us in the past. But no, they don't, because I don't know if the Lord just gave us favor. I don't know. I mean, it's not illegal against the executive order for us to meet or whatever. There isn't one on churches. But even if there is, we always find a way to do what God's called us to do, and I'll leave it at that. But, you know, we rarely get into – we obey the Lord rather than man. All right, anyway, well, God bless you all. I'm going to get out of here. Let me – whoops, wrong button. There we go. Let me remind you, if you would pray for our ministry, number one, pray for my wife, who is due anytime, really, in the next week or so. So, let's see, due on like the 28th or whatever, 27th or 28th, I think. So pray for that. Also, if you'd like to give to our ministry, you can click on sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley. You can click on give, and you can PayPal us at salvationpreacher@gmail.com or pastorcooley@icloud.com. Or you can mail a check or money order to this address down here. Okay, so look for more YouTube videos. Look for more surprise truck talks, and look for more of our stuff to be uploaded here to Sermon Audio and to there. And I'll possibly Wednesday, I'll be back in our series on texts, on problem texts, and we'll talk about maybe Gideon and some of the others in Judges. Who knows where we'll be at? Something like that. All right. All right. Anyway, God bless you all. Take care. We'll